you really feel, you understand the tagline of Louisiana's Playground, because something does happen. Something shifts in you. You become the best version of yourself and a fun version of yourself. I like me here. I'm quite grumpy in London. I'm fun here. I'm fun mother here.
Thanks for joining us on Louisiana's Playground Podcast, your roadmap to all things Lake Charles, Louisiana. I'm Brady Raynard.
And I'm Jillian Corder. We have another episode bringing you today the authentic stories and experiences of Southwest Louisiana, all the tools that you need to build your own personal Lake Charles itinerary.
Can you name a number that's bigger than 55 but smaller than 57?
Somewhere around, let's say, 56.
Well, that's it. That's the episode number for this one. Episode 56, Louisiana's Playground Podcast. We talk to international travel extraordinaire Mathieu Primo-Rubin with Rubin Communications. Such a joyous person. So much fun.
Yeah.
Energy, bubbly.
Her excitement is contagious.
It really is. It really is. Hailing from London, coming all the way over as part of her work. And so it was a great conversation to talk about international travel and how Lake Charles kind of fits into that big puzzle.
Yeah. A lot of people may not see Lake Charles as a destination, especially an international destination to some, but it truly is. And she really, she explains that to us all. But we begin the show, as we always do, with a taste of Southwest Louisiana. It is a segment we call Envie Eats.
And this week we head out to Raja's Curry Kitchen, a place opening back in 2015. So 9 years of service, actually this month, funny enough, as they opened in November. It's a restaurant that deals with desi food, which is the culmination of the South Asian countries like India, Pakistan, and Bangladesh mostly. So they serve that style of food. And Chef Raja actually from the Pakistani area, so that's where his bulk of his recipes are from, although his influences stretch all the way to like Saudi Arabia. So there's some Mediterranean influences on his menu as well. He also worked in New York as a chef as well before, funny enough, finding his way to Lake Charles on vacation to see some friends. He met his wife here and decided to call it home.
And that's how the story goes, right?
Yeah. That's how it is.
And we're so glad that he decided to call it home, because Raja's has been here for about as long as you and I have. In town.
Yeah, good
point.
Since
2015, right?
Good point.
And it was one of the, I want to say, first places we went whenever we started really exploring the cuisine here in Southwest Louisiana once we got settled in. And we've been hooked ever since. I think it's really funny, and I have to note that you said, this week we go to Raja's, when we both know that almost every week
we go to
Raja's.
That's fair.
We do this
That's fair.
All the time.
We just did it with a little bit more fanfare this week.
Yeah, we're just getting to talk about it this week, which is really exciting, because their food, it's just so consistent. It's so good. Whenever I have it, in fact, if I bring back leftovers to work, everybody at work goes, oh, man, now I know what I'm getting for dinner.
Exactly. And I think a common misconception is that it's just Indian food, and that's what people would call it. But it's obviously, as I said, desi, so it's a little bit more than just Indian food. It's that South Asian kind of corridor down there. And so it's a little bit more nuanced and, like I said, kind of a fusion, if you will.
Yeah.
They're big sellers, though, the butter chicken.
Yeah.
And then one of their fusion items, the gyro, is actually from the Mediterranean influences. They do a lamb and chicken mix. We'll kind of talk about that there in a second. And speaking of fusions, there's a new item on their menu that we actually didn't try this go around, but we will probably be getting before the weekends as well, which is their butter chicken pizza. So they combine their non-flatbread and all of that with their butter chicken to create a crazy dish.
Which basically, it's my biggest regret in life that I didn't get it for this. But I did order the butter chicken, of course, and the garlic cheese naan. So I had the deconstructed version. All the same elements, right?
Sure.
And so good. The butter chicken, I mean, you don't have to guess that it's made with butter and chicken, right? But all of those amazing spices all come together. It's extremely creamy. It's not in Indian food. That genre has always scared me a little bit, because you know me, I'm like anti-spice. Everything is too hot for me.
Mm-hmm.
And so Indian food always scared me, right? Like I always just had this terrible misconception about the heat, level. This doesn't have that. It is full of spice and flavor, but it is not overwhelming heat-wise at all. It's perfect. Perfect spices. The chicken's cooked amazing every single time. You get big chunks of chicken. It's on a bed of white rice. You get the naan to go with it, and you are using it to soak up every last drop of this butter chicken sauce because it's so incredibly good.
It's such a comfort food. Mm-hmm. I consider that butter chicken with naan almost like a rice like and gravy here, right? Like a mashed potatoes with gravy and smothered chicken, right?
When you're like not feeling great, you're a little under the weather, like you've got that one like go-to, like this is the thing that sounds good to me. This is it for me. A lot of people go for soup. Nope, I want butter chicken with all the naan.
Because it's very rich, but in a pleasing manner, right?
Oh, it's just really good.
And it's so buttery, as you said, and that tomato base from it kind of creates a nice mixture there. Yeah. Like a tomato soup, essentially, with chicken, and then with that naan is just... Because at the end of the day, if you're not sure what naan is, it's a... Think of it as a soft, chewy flatbread, right? It's very pliable. So often in... Desi cultures, they'll use it in place of a utensil sometimes, right? You can pick up your rice, you can dip it into the sauces and stews, or you can eat it with dry dishes just like a biscuit or something along those lines.
I also use it as a utensil for my buttered chicken.
It's perfect for it because it soaks it up and it's amazing. It is truly such a versatile carbohydrate.
And there they have, of course, like plain, they have the cheese naan and they've got the garlic naan, the butter naan.
There's also a sweet naan as well that they do.
Oh, I haven't tried that yet.
Yeah. Lots to try on the menu, and it's all exceptional. I went with the other popular item, the gyro, which I actually got turned on. I used to get their chicken curry, and I really, really enjoyed it. But I had a buddy that said, dude, try the gyro. Trust me. So it's boneless chicken breast.
Thanks, Austin.
Yes, thanks, Austin. Boneless chicken breast broiled on the grill. They marinate it in olive oil, garlic, and spices. And then they take lamb and they marinate that in a house special seasoning and they cook it on the grill. And there's so much texture to both, especially the lamb. It has a nice crisp on the outside, but it's got such a perfect chew. So good. I think I actually prefer lamb more than beef in some instances. And they can serve it over options, but rice is usually the way they do it. And they do a special sauce that's like a garlic white sauce. And then they use what I would believe to be some style of sriracha pepper sauce as well. And they mix it there on the top of it. And it's so creamy and it's got some spicy. I actually asked for it spicy, so they'll kind of church it up, if you will, a bit.
Of course you do. Oh, of course you ask for it spicy.
It's so good. The lamb has so much texture and flavor, and the chicken adds to it as well. It's so garlicky, and the pepper sauce adds such a freshness to the dish as well. And the combo of garlic and pepper spice is amazing to begin with. And it's so filling over that that bed of rice. As I said, they do it over a salad or roll if you're interested, but the rice to me is... I love the basmati rice with it. And then you use some of that naan to kind of scoop it up and eat it with. It is perfection. I have no other way to say it. It's absolutely, it hits every note that I want. Because there is a subtle hint of sweetness with that garlic sauce as well. Like,
yeah, yes there is.
And some of the seasonings that they use on the lamb and chicken. Mm-hmm. So there's just a hint of sweet.
It's everything.
But it is. It's so perfect and so amazing. And I don't see any way that the butter chicken or the gyro doesn't fit into your bucket of what do you like to eat. I could guarantee you one of those two is right there for you.
Yeah.
Unless you're vegetarian.
Well, I have tried. Well, okay. Maybe.
And there's vegetarian like curries and stuff. So you have options.
Sure. No, there are several people who have been hesitant to, I'd say, go beyond their little, like their comfort zone of food.
Yep.
And I've said, just try it. Just try it. And maybe it was their first time trying, you know, a Desi fusion type food, and they're hooked. So way to go. And of course, the restaurant itself is in a really great spot. It's right there on Ryan Street, a really unassuming little spot in a shopping plaza, but perfect for a quick bite, for lunch. We, of course, on our way home, order in a lot for dinner. And so it's a great spot to pick up your food, run home. It's a big It's a big winner in my book.
Yeah, it's just a few seconds away from McNeese and near a few other restaurants that we featured on V Eats,
right.
Especially recently, like Salt Revival, mm-hmm. Southern Spice, Coolers. And so all of those are just right there down the road. So Ryan Street is a really great restaurant row, if you will, for our area. And Raja's is a perfect place for lunch and dinner for that reason.
Don't skip on the naan.
From a great meal to a great guest, we welcome on Mathu Primarubin, the communications consultant with Rubin Communications. And she has been an expert in the field, working in strategic consultants for about 15 years. She's worked for a variety of travel and lifestyle brands and luxury hotels, one and only resorts, the Dorchester Collection. She's spent time with Visit England, New York & Company, and Brand USA. And now she takes all that experience and brings it here to the podcast. Welcome to the show, Mathu.
Thank you for having me. So excited to be here.
We're so excited to have you. Now, the very first thing we do with any of our guests is answer three quick questions for us so that our audience better gets to know you and how you play in Louisiana's playground. Are you ready?
Ready as I can be.
Okay, so our first question is crawfish or gumbo?
Crawfish.
Okay, why is that? And how many opportunities have you gotten a chance to have crawfish? Here in Southwest Louisiana.
I feel like I have had a few opportunities, okay, actually. Good. I've had crawfish etouffee. Mm-hmm. Crawfish etouffee. I've had crawfish gumbo. And I feel like I've had various crawfish dishes as we've been on this journey from New Orleans through Baton Rouge, Lafayette, and mm-hmm. Lake Charles. And I've just really enjoyed the abundance of it.
Yes.
So still haven't come at a time for boiled crawfish, though, yet.
I haven't. That is definitely on my list, Brady.
Yeah, that's a bucket lister there.
Gotta well, get you here in the
then
spring.
Then crawfish will be like a double answer for you then at that point, I'm sure.
I'll just be like, that's it.
The only,
crawfish
the
to
only
every
thing
question.
You,
yes. you get off the plane in a crawfish uh-huh. outfit.
Yeah. Okay, so our next question is poolside or beachside?
That's a really tough one. Beachside.
Oh, she really had to think about it.
I really did. You know, I chase the sun.
Yeah.
It is so cold in England most of the time, mm-hmm. rainy and grey. So it is a delight to see blue skies, to be able to walk out in a t-shirt and a pair of shorts. And there is just something about sitting oceanside or seaside.
Yeah.
For me, that is the ultimate holiday.
Yeah. Well, we're glad we can give that to you here in South Louisiana. 100%. Okay, last question. Concert or comedy show?
Comedy show.
Okay.
Who doesn't love to laugh?
That's what I always say. It's a bit of escapism, right?
Yes.
Kind of get away, shut the world out.
I was going to guess, but Mathu and I have spent some time together with a couple of her stops that she's been in. And I don't know why I said, I bet you she likes comedy shows. So.
Yeah. Absolutely love them.
Kindred
live comedy.
Spirit.
Yeah. Like comedy TV shows. Yeah, nothing better than laughing.
All right. Sounds good.
Well, I know we introduced you, but the travel industry as a whole, I think, is a bit of an enigma to those on the outside. At least it was to me before I kind of jumped over. What's the central aspect and ultimately the goal of your work here in Lake Charles?
Essentially, what I do is public relations. And the idea is to create brand awareness, to talk about, particularly in destinations, what makes you attractive to a traveler. We're incredibly lucky that we have such an amazing choice of destinations to visit, not just in the US, but in the world. So if you've got 10 days to spend of your free time, your downtime, where do you want to go? How do you best experience a destination? How do you connect with a local community? Because for me, it really is about mutual respect between the traveler and the local community. And I think it enhances the experience if you have that relationship. So my job is to make sure we're telling the stories that position any destination, in this case, Lake Charles, in a really positive light, showing why it is that you're great for travelers. So it could be the nature trail. It is your abundance of amazing food, or perhaps it is just all the activities that we can do here, from bike ride. We did a brilliant bike ride mm-hmm. around the lake that it was just a ridiculous amount of fun. The food that we have eaten. So it's positioning all of that and the people that make the community.
All right, I'm sold. I'm moving to Lake Charles.
Me too.
So this is, well, I was going to ask, this is your third visit here.
Yes.
And so what have you seen? What is that unique thing that Southwest Louisiana has to offer?
People. I think each time I come, I'm struck by the warmth of people, how friendly they are, how welcoming they are into the community. Everybody really takes great pride in where they live, what they do, and they want to share that experience to you, with you. I remember arriving in Lake Charles the first time, and it was after Thanksgiving. Mm-hmm. So, you know, everything's quite festive, and I'm running late because there's just been a series of delays, and I just said, okay, which carousel do I get my luggage from? You know, clearly quite frantic. I'm just like, don't worry, everything's fine. There's one, you'll be okay. And immediately, her calming voice, just the fact that she was so welcoming. I find my luggage. Immediately, there's someone there to greet me. I really feel like it's coming home in many mm-hmm. respects. And each time I feel like I genuinely have friends here. People recognize you mm-hmm. when you're in the shops, where I have been going to my same barista in London for the past 4 years. And every morning she says, what would you like? My order hasn't changed in mm-hmm. the past 4 years. We don't know each other's name. There is no conversation. But here, people are genuinely interested in you, what you're doing. Yeah. And they really love their destination. And you can't help but get excited.
I love that you talked about the relationship between tourist and the local. Because I feel like sometimes when we travel, people might look at us, well, maybe it's because of Brady's choice in shirts or something. But a lot of times people look at us.
Wah, wah.
People look at us and go, oh, tourist. And in here, we hope that when people come to visit, people, they hear more, yay, a tourist.
I think that really is the case. But I think also Visit Lake Charles has done a great job in engaging with the local community mm-hmm. and saying, this is why we want people to come here. We want to show that you do the best gumbo, or, you know, with Mrs. Johnny's gingerbread house, that here is where you can have such amazing pies. And let mm-hmm. me tell you what's going to happen when people come in. I feel like it's a really collective experience. It isn't simply, hey, let's just stop by. Let's not engage. Let's not talk about what you're doing. It's get involved in our community mm-hmm. and for the community to be part of welcoming travelers and tourists that come in.
And I think it's such a cool opportunity that you have, in that you live in the self-proclaimed greatest city in the world.
London, yes.
In London. But you do spend a lot of time overseas, across yes. the pond, if you will. How much time do you think you spend over here?
You know, I was trying to think, how many times have I visited the US? And I sort of lost count the number of trips I've done, but I feel like I'm really lucky that I do think London is the greatest city in the world. I was born in London. Mm-hmm. I was raised in London. And I have such passion for the city that I live in and that I get to call home. But I think I have a greater appreciation for it as I travel.
Yep.
And mm-hmm. you see other cities and you see other communities. But I also, I feel incredibly lucky, because I feel like London is home. And there are so many cities and states in the US where I feel like I'm at home.
Yeah, and I was going to say that, because of that wealth of travel experience that you have, for you to say the things that you are about Lake Charles, that doesn't come from, oh, this is one of the few stops I get to do. It's one of the many. And for Lake Charles to stand out like it does, I think says something.
100%. I have been so fortunate to visit many cities and states along the coast, Middle America, and I keep coming back to Lake Charles, and it is the people. It is the great food. And actually, you know, in the job that we do, we are lucky to have traveled so much and to have had these incredible experiences around the world, something that I wouldn't be able to do unless it was my job. And when I came to Lake Charles for the first time, I had a lot of fuss in the food that I'd eaten. Mm-hmm. I'd never had gumbo before.
Mm-hmm.
I'd never had crayfish. You say crawfish, don't you?
Crawfish.
We say crayfish.
We dropped the Y and put a W.
You've got to be different. crawfish etouffee. I'd never had boudin or mm-hmm. boudin balls. And it's so great when you have different experiences. You're in a place where you feel a distinct culture, and you really feel that I'm in a different city to mm-hmm. my own. And I think that's really important, because with globalization of travel, whether you are in Paris, London, New York, sometimes you don't have a sense of place.
Mm-hmm.
I can be in a restaurant and it could be in any one of those cities. But here you really know where you are. There really is a distinct culture and a sense of place. And for me, that is so important when you're traveling.
So what are some of the stops you've been able to make while on your visits here?
We have to start with the food. We went to Salt Revival Oyster Company. The oysters are just fantastic. Mm-hmm. I think we probably ate all the oysters in there that night.
Char grilled?
So I love raw oysters, but okay. We had one of the group had never had oysters before.
Oh,
and
that's
exactly. Yes, yeah, so a lot of fuss here. And she tried char grilled, baked, and raw. love them all. You know, it's just done so beautifully. Again, a really fun environment. Mm-hmm. Their blue crab pasta.
Yeah.
I wonder if I can sneak some home on the plane tonight.
Maybe.
It was just so good. I'm a huge fan of famous foods. And each time I come, that is what I long for. And even last night, I mean, we have not been hungry on this trip.
Oh, no.
When BA says any additional weight, I'm like, yep, me. An additional 20 pounds right here. But I think about it often because it's just so good.
Did you get the soft cracklings? Is that what you get? That's
the soft cracklings. I mean,
such a game changer.
Yes.
It's a game changer.
Yes.
I was telling someone the other day, I was talking to a chef that was like, man, I just don't know what they do. They're so good. And I said, they're so good that I no longer want dry cracklings anymore.
No.
Agreed.
And I love dry cracklings. And I'm like, I kind of want those soft cracklings.
But even the boudin balls.
Yes. That's what I get when I go.
It's just delicious. So the food really stands out. Biking through the lake with Donnie Glynn. Okay. Here's why he's amazing. A, you get to see, you know, he really tailors the tools for you. And when I said I want to see the houses because I just love driving by, mm-hmm. he is brilliant at doing that. But, you know, as Brits, we can be quite reserved. We don't want to have, you know, we don't want to have attention drawn to us. And we started this tour. He said, right, tell me your karaoke songs. And each was like, no, karaoke songs. We will not be singing at any point on this bike ride. We are going to be riding the bike to see the lake, to see the houses, mm-hmm. to see downtown. No, tell me your karaoke songs. And we each reluctantly give our karaoke songs. 15 minutes in, we're doing a concert by the lakeside. We are the Spice Girls. We are Whitney yes. Houston. You know, Matt's phone is like, you've got to get to your next appointment. We're in the middle of a concert, guys. Stop.
Excuse me.
Yes. He brings out that sense of fun.
Yeah.
I remember, I thought the first time, I was like, there is no way I'm doing this. Who is he kidding? And A, you don't ride bikes in London, really. Yeah. We're not a bikeable city. They're trying to change that. But I hadn't ridden a bike since I was a kid. Mm-hmm. And I was like, I don't want to have to ride a bike and sing. This just seems a bit like too much. And as we get to the end, he said, oh, you have the option to shop or continue bike riding. I was like, we have to ride the bike. We have to let people hear me sing Taylor Swift.
I'm not done.
What are you exactly? I'm not finished.
What is your karaoke song?
I really don't have one unless I'm here.
So she had to come up with one on the spot.
Yeah, that's so I did fair. Shake It Off and Spice Girls.
A good one. Spice Girls is always a big hit.
I mean, we were regaling the city yesterday.
I'm a child of the 90s, so Spice Girls is always that's a win. That's great.
Also, I think I'm really excited about Port Wonder. Mm-hmm. I've been lucky enough to have sneak peeks of it, and the first in June, and already the exterior of the building is brilliant. I'm a huge fan of the World War II Museum in New Orleans, mm-hmm. so the fact that it has the same architects is just incredible, and you can already see how that's going to be changing mm-hmm. Your skyline. But just how interactive it is, how children are going to get excited. And then we were lucky enough to go yesterday, and everybody, even though we're all adults, we're playing with the different exhibitions, which are still being put together, but it's going to be brilliant. And again, how it engages with the local community, sure. how it yeah. has a space for everyone, you know, children to come in and learn and be so immersed in their local community, because you do have the lake, you do have the Creole Nature Trail. And then for tourists to come in and have an understanding, I think that's going to be an incredibly special place. I'm excited about the lakefront regeneration. Mm-hmm. I really enjoy Crying Eagle. I think, you know, great music, as much as I love comedy, you know, great concerts.
Sure.
It's such a great place, you know, live venue. We all had such fun on our first night in Panorama. Again, we weren't politely standing at the bar. We're all dancing.
Yeah.
It was, you really feel, you understand the tagline of Louisiana's Playground, because something does happen. Something shifts in you. Mm-hmm. You become the best version of yourself and a fun version of yourself.
Yeah.
I like me here. I'm quite grumpy in London.
I love that, though.
I'm fun here. I'm fun mother here.
Fun mother. Well, we're glad
we have fun here.
We're glad that comes out of you here. And I think that that's what's really special and unique. And it's really hard to kind of verbalize. It's hard to put into words that, yeah, you can go to these places. And it's not just New Orleans, right? Because we here in the locals of Lake Charles probably think, yeah, we got to go to New Orleans to get that side of us out of there. But we have that to offer here. And it's so good to hear it from somebody else, because I think that's what we need. A lot of people take for granted what's in their own backyards. Mm-hmm. You know, people that have lived here for forever, for their entire lives, might think,
well, it's boring. And a lot of people probably think that of their own city, no matter where it is in the world. So it's so good to hear it from somebody else who's here as a visitor and to kind of remind you what all we do have to offer. And even if it's just something that intangible thing of making fun, Mathu, come here, then that's it.
It's
so
important. As you know, I'm a Londoner, love London. But you can be jaded in living in your own city and you take for granted, exactly as you said, what's in your background. So when someone says to me, oh my God, I really love this about London, or I love taking the tube, or I think actually in the rain it's brilliant, and you hear someone else's excitement, or you see the city through their eyes, you can't help but fall in love with it again.
Yeah.
So you've been here enough that I think that you can answer this question. A hidden gem so far, somewhere on this trip to Lake Charles, one of your three, that you've done something that maybe you thought people were kind of underselling just how good this is for you.
I really enjoyed historic City Hall. I think the local exhibitions are really beautiful and important.
For sure.
Because I think art is really vital in bringing out people's creative side, in making people feel inspired, and just giving them space to think. And I thought it would be a quick 10 minutes. I went on my first visit. I thought, quick 10 minutes, that's how I kind of do the galleries at home. Yep, seen it, tick, 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 But here I wandered around and I felt very much at peace. And it was really interesting exhibitions. And maybe because it's a smaller space and it's not crowded, you have more time to engage. Hearing the local historians speak, I think is really wonderful. One of our team had a tour yesterday where she got to hear about how the city's architecture has changed over the years because of fires or hurricanes. This is a very resilient city and its people are very resilient. And yet out of this, there is still so much hope, inspiration, creativity. And I think that for me was something really special. All the art murals you have. Mm-hmm. I've taken so many photos.
Yeah.
I love the wings. Suddenly here, Fun Mother loves being by the wings. the ones of oh my God, Van Gogh as well.
It's Van Gogh, yeah.
Yeah, really brilliant. And I think that took me by surprise. And I think that's something you don't necessarily shout about. And it's a really lovely story.
What about aspects of Lake Charles do you think resonates with international visitors?
The food. 100%
of course.
The food.
It resonates with me.
Yeah. Yes. Culinary tourism is huge. I personally think food can make or break a holiday. Mm-hmm. You have one bad meal and it just colors your entire trip. Mm-hmm. It doesn't matter if you saw dolphins. It doesn't matter if you got to pet alligators. It doesn't matter if you saw, the most amazing piece of art. But that one bad meal is what's going to stay with you. And I have yet to have a bad meal here.
Brady and I have traveled a little bit, not a lot, but I love the beach. So anytime I can get away to an island somewhere, we do it. And there are certain places, the entire country, he's like, I'm not going there again because we maybe didn't have a great experience with a meal.
I've had that. As I've said, I'm a beach person and went to a beautiful island, stunning, stunning beaches. But I won't go back because of the food.
Yes.
It just wasn't my cup of tea. Whereas a place like, shout out St. Lucia.
I think it's hugely important. And here, not only is the food good, but you have places where people, it feels like it's sort of smaller places that's run by generations of families. And say, for example, Mama Rita, which I got to experience last time. So good.
Yeah.
So good. The fried chicken, the beans, everything. But also her welcome.
Yeah.
And again, you feel like you really are being invited into someone's home. And I think that's hugely important because, fancy restaurants, you can get anywhere in the world.
Yeah.
And they're enjoyable. There's a place for them. But sometimes you just want to feel like, especially when you're traveling a lot, that you're being invited into someone's home. You're having a home-cooked meal.
Yeah.
There are some nights that I just want to be in my pajamas and have spaghetti bolognese when you're traveling, because you're on the road so much.
Sure.
And actually, being at Mama Rita's or going to Famous Foods, you have that feeling.
Sure.
And it's something different. So I think food is your biggest, biggest appeal.
Well, staying on international travelers, how are they the same? And then maybe how do they differ from what a U.S. traveler looks for and wants?
Yeah. I think travelers are all alike, that we're looking for experiences. You want to feel like you're learning something new, you're seeing something new. And of course, relaxing. That's the entire point, ultimately, of a holiday. I think the US is vast, and Louisiana is so different to New York or to LA. And mm-hmm. it's almost like 50 different countries.
Yeah.
You know, you've got, I have been here maybe 20, 30 times, and I haven't even scratched the surface of what America has to offer. So I think experiences, and whether you're a domestic traveler or an international traveler, I think that is the idea of experiences are absolutely huge. How we differ is simple things, actually. What I've really learned between the two cultures is hotels. We don't collect points. It's not a thing. We collect points for flights, but not for hotels.
Okay.
So we're not looking to see if there's a Marriott or a Hilton so that we can up our points. Mm-hmm. We want boutique properties. We want hotels that tell a story about the destination. That is hugely important. We want, you know, whether it is at Airstream mm-hmm. or, you know, in Baton Rouge, we stayed at the Origin Hotel. And I believe there are only 6 or 7 in the South.
Okay.
I love hotels. I sometimes on holiday walk around hotels mm-hmm. because I love them so much. We were once in Thailand with my brother. And he just said one afternoon, he says, like, can we stop going to hotels? I'm like, why? What aren't you enjoying?
They're beautiful.
Yeah. We get to see the pool. We get to see the bar layout. We get to see what amenities. He's like, please, can we just stop? And I loved in Origin.
That's amazing.
It's so much fun. We can do that next time you're in London. We can just wander around hotels.
Just, yeah.
Boy, that sounds exceptional.
It is so much fun.
I want to do that.
Wait, can we go to that pool? No, we're not staying there.
Brady, take me to London so I can explore the hotels, please.
I will take you on a hotel tour. But, you know, the Origin, in which is a chain that I believe is only in the South, it is very much fits around the local culture. Mm-hmm. And so, for example, the one in Baton Rouge has the tiger motif everywhere. Mm-hmm. And I think that's a great way of getting people engaged. You know, it is sure. important to feel that way, having local food in the restaurant. Having that, I'm trying to think of another hotel that I absolutely, like, we stayed at the Hotel St. Vincent in New Orleans, mm-hmm. which again is just, the pool was beautiful, the cocktails that had that local flavor, the service. It felt like this is going to sound crazy, but slightly like The Shining, but also Wes Anderson. It was every detail, but it worked. It was beautiful.
That actually makes so much sense to me.
I hope it's a lot closer to Wes Anderson than
it
The
is
Shining.
It was the perfect combination of both. And it felt special.
Were there twins at any point on tricycles?
I didn't see any.
That's good.
But also the artwork.
Yes.
It's just, it gives you a sense of place. Mm-hmm. And that's what it comes down to.
So when you are, so tell me, how does it work when you're in town and you have this group of international tourism journalist with you, right? Y'all travel around, you do kind of a set itinerary, right? And then what's the main goal? They take that information and try to share it with the world, right?
Yes. So that sounds really fun, what I do.
It sounds incredible what you do.
It is so much fun, and I'm so incredibly lucky and privileged to do it. But a press trip takes so much planning, thinking, mm-hmm. and thought, because you have one shot to tell the right story. The same way that we said food and drink can make or break a holiday,
sure.
and you won't go back to a certain place. If you have a bad experience,
yep.
you're not going to write a good piece. You're not going to encourage people to go to this destination. So we spend a lot of time, and you know, I spend a lot of time seeking out what I think will interest a reader. What are the experiences that if you're picking up your weekend paper with your coffee or with a glass of wine, flicking through a magazine or watching a TV show or listening to a podcast, what do I want to hear about a destination? And I think, you know, travel evolves constantly, and we're now in this stage where it really is about local communities and understanding the people. We don't want to feel like we're spectators or observing. We want to be part of it.
Mm-hmm.
So it's coming in and finding out, how do we tell that story? Who are the characters that we feel bring the destination to life? It's also a lot. You know, we've been on the road I came in last Sunday. It feels like I've been here a year. Mm-hmm. And in that period, we've done New Orleans, Baton Rouge, Lafayette, Lake Charles. We've done amazing, amazing experiences, from, you know, biking through the lake to French history tours to seeing the stadium. I've never been so well fed. Mm-hmm. Breakfast, lunch, dinner, and snacks in between. And all of that sounds brilliant, but it's exhausting. And
sure.
you have to have this incredible balance between making sure they're seeing brilliant parts of the destination, getting their own stories, but not feeling overwhelmed that you're so tired you don't enjoy it anymore, sure. That it's information overload. So it's this careful balance of how do I tell the best story? But before that, what story do I want to tell?
Sure.
And I think that's where a lot of destinations get it wrong. They're like, okay, we've got food, we've got sports, we've got nature. Let's put it all in together. Let's try and fill in their day from 8 a.m. to 10 p.m. That you come out not being quite sure what the destination is.
Yeah.
And especially something like, you know, Louisiana, where one of in our group, this is their first time in the U.S.
Mm-hmm.
Three of our group have never been to Baton Rouge, Lafayette, and Lake Charles. And if you ask the majority of people outside the U.S., where is Baton Rouge? Is it the capital of Louisiana? Most people would be hard-pressed to answer that.
Mm-hmm.
I didn't really know until I started working for Brand sure. USA. My knowledge of U.S. destinations has grown incredibly. So I think it's finding all of those different elements, pulling that together and creating an itinerary. Once you land, that's the easy part.
Yeah.
You know, there's obviously logistical challenges or making sure we're getting to the right place in time, mm-hmm. that people are having the best oysters. Or
not getting lost on a bus.
Not getting lost on a bus and circle the lake about four times. not getting lost in the casino, which we had incredible fun, I think, again. I'm sure that we broke out into song last night with a bit of Spice Girls to entertain everybody because we are so fun here. But I think that's why you're here. And then afterwards, they work for various publications,
mm-hmm.
and it's writing those people. And it's twofold. It's brand awareness. It's making people realize that Lake Charles is an option when you're thinking about your holiday. It's to give them inspiration. When you're planning your holiday, how do you pick where you want to go? And we are inundated with ideas now, especially with social media. You know, I do a mixture of TikTok, Instagram, reading papers, podcasts that I might hear, food shows. That's how people decide. We have maybe 40, 50 different checkpoints when we're trying to make choices now. How do you stand out? And that's where your strategy is really important. Mm-hmm. Do not inundate and overwhelm with so many stories. Let's pick a theme and how do we bring that to life? So then they write their articles. And if you do a good job, it's not one hit and done.
Mm-hmm.
The idea is they think, you know what? I had such a great time on the food store and I've got the Cajun Creole element done. Okay, now let me interview, you know, the owner of Famous Foods to talk about maybe how he makes his boudin. Or how do I link in nature to the food idea?
Mm-hmm.
Once you've got your foundation, you can start building on sports and food.
Yeah.
That's a great, you know, when I learned that there are so many different types of tailgating and mm-hmm. then how different people do, you know, cook different elements. And these are family recipes and how they live the experience from whether it just is a simple barbecue to full laid out table. Is fascinating.
Yeah.
So it's making sure you're eking out these different stories that you've built a character almost of who Lake Charles is, if it was a person. Do you mm-hmm. want to hang out with them? Do you want to be with them?
Yeah.
I think that's really important. So it's making sure, I'm a firm believer, you don't want one big splash mm-hmm. all of a sudden. You want to have this steady stream of stories. So by the time you are picking a destination, if you're coming into New Orleans, well, of course, I'm going to go to Lake Charles. It's only 3 hours away.
Sure.
Why would I not? It has to become an obvious choice.
Yeah.
Well, I love that you had kind of talked about some of these things, but the travel industry constantly evolving, right, as culture and everything else. Do you see any trends emerging in international travelers that, you know, could impact somewhere like Lake Charles?
Yes. I mean, we've talked about food tourism, and I could talk about food all day, and that would be. I remember actually when I first came to Lake Charles, and I hadn't met Brady, but I listened to all the podcasts. And I was like, mm-hmm. So on this podcast, when you talked about the pasta, could we go there?
Can we go to that?
Yeah, we
one?
Went. Funny enough, we went to. She had something that we had to go to Crying Eagle, and we were doing. We had like a drinking tour at the for the about hour and a half that I was with Mathu that first time, and so we went. And the next stop was beer flights at Crying Eagle and a brewery tour. It was so cool. And as we got there, she was sitting and she had talked about Mama Rita and she had talked about the Pasta Lab and a couple other places. And she was like, man, some of those places are so brilliant. I wish we could go. And I said, well, Pasta Lab is right there.
Let's walk over.
And she said, can we? And so we walked over.
Oh, we spent half an hour in there.
Yes.
The phone Brady's like, she's got to be at her next stop.
Sorry.
But it's really interesting meeting you and how that story came about.
Yes.
And how they became, you know, integral to the local community. So food tourism is big and we've really discussed that. But road trips. Mm-hmm. In 2026, it's the 100th anniversary of Route 66.
Oh, wow.
And, you know, again, if you're an international traveler, and particularly in the UK, that is we always think of the Great American Road Trip because our island is very small. And yes, we have smaller road trips, but there are so many beautiful road trips that you can do in the US. Mm-hmm. And I think here's something where Lake Charles can really come into its own. Working with these partners and creating this Louisiana culinary trail or sports trail, it is beautiful. The landscapes that we have passed driving here. We took the I-10 because of time, and they were still beautiful. But if you took the I-90, I believe, you've got some great rural towns that you can go through.
Absolutely.
And that tied in with the sense of Americana. We really want to see that because travel has become so prevalent. And, you know, there are problems of over-tourism in certain cities and destinations, not just in the US, but across Europe, all over the world. So when you get that slice of Americana and you feel like you're really immersing yourself in the local culture, communities, local communities, that is hugely important. And it goes back to what I said, you don't want to just be an observer, you want to feel engaged. So we did a cookery course. I had to be in charge of morale because my grating skills aren't where they should be. But morale is a really important job in the kitchen.
Yes.
I was a morale in pouring drinks, which I'm also excellent at. But that's a great way of understanding, you know, what people do. Or the stadium tour, going to a match. I really feel events-based tourism is going to be huge. Of course, if it's your first time to the to any destination, you want to see those iconic attractions. But I will travel to go and see a Taylor Swift concert. If anybody has tickets, please come to me.
My email is
yes. Please contact Brady and please share ticket details with us. But I think for certain concerts, we've seen that. Whether it is art exhibitions, people will travel. And I think that here, you've got great music. People will travel to that. If they know that there are certain artists coming in and they can see them in a smaller venues, college sports. You know, again, we've got the World Cup, Football World Cup, coming in 2026. That opportunity to attract all those tourists, 11 host cities across the US, I believe three of them in the South, the potential to get people into those smaller destinations, to see them, to showcase that, that local culture is huge, a huge trend that people can tap into.
Let's hope we qualify and play well. That would be helpful.
I really hope England qualifies too.
So, okay, so you're talking to an international traveler. What is your advice for them planning a trip to the U.S., planning a trip specifically to Lake Charles maybe? What is your big piece of advice for their Americana adventure?
Pack baggy trousers, number one.
Pack baggy trousers.
So you can eat.
Got it.
You know?
So I think when you said baggy, we were thinking a Ziploc.
I'm thinking yeah.
But baggy, B-A-G-G-Y. Okay, makes sense.
Yeah, pack, yes. Size up.
100%.
Stretchy pants.
Stretchy pants, exactly. Pack your stretchy pants.
Yeah.
Sorry, could you repeat the question?
We're just, no, I really like that. That's pretty good.
This is making it. What advice do you give? So,
To the international traveler, pack baggy pants.
Pack baggy pants because you want to eat everything.
I love it. That's great. You know, that's great advice. It's great advice for even the locals, you know. Size up before you go out to dinner.
And try and see a game of sorts. I went to a baseball game. Again, it's becoming huge in the UK when I think the Yankees came into town last year and it sold out within 48 hours.
Yeah.
It's not a sport we play, but try and see that. Get part of the local spirit. I think it's so much fun. You know, engage in the local community as much as you can. I think, again, when I came to Lake Charles for the first time, I was, even though your name is Lake Charles, I was surprised by the wealth of nature and outdoor activities. You have a state park. You know, again, and I get talking about over-tourism, a lot of the national parks, beautiful, but they are overcrowded post-COVID. You've got so many beautiful things you can do. The Sarge does not think my kayaking skills are up to scratch, but that's another story. But it's so beautiful. The Creole Nature Trail, make time. I think people probably think, oh, 24 hours is enough. No, I think actually put in 48 hours and build in some rest time.
Yeah,
definitely rest time because it will... The few times that you kind of get on the CNT, it does kind of wear you down because it's so vast,
it
right?
Is.
It's
There's
expansive.
There's so much to see.
Exactly.
There's so much to experience here.
Yeah.
And so I love the shout out to Sarge. He's our guy on the kayaks and pontoons and everything there. So
He's
brilliant. shout out to Sarge. sold me my first Jeep Wrangler too.
He is brilliant, but
he does a little bit of everything.
Yeah, he does
a
little bit
of everything. Brilliant. And as I was kayaking backwards, he was like, "What are you doing?" I was like, "I don't know.
I don't know.
I am enjoying the water.
The water is taking me on a journey."
Exactly. Well, thank you so much for being with us today. It's been so good and eye-opening to what you do.
Well, thank you so much for having me. I absolutely love Lake Charles and any excuse to come back. And thank you so much for having me be a guest on your podcast. Feel incredibly proud that I've made it.
Well, thanks again to Mathieu for joining us here on this show. And thank you, most of all, for taking time out of your day to listen to the podcast. If you enjoyed it, please follow the podcast, leave us a rating or review. You can comment on like YouTube if you want, Spotify's comments, whatever. Tweet us or Facebook us or, you know, one of those things.
One of those things. It'll help us grow our audience and further share the unique experiences that Lake Charles in Southwest Louisiana has to offer. Just go to visitlakecharles.org/podcast for more of our episodes, advice on where to eat, and events that are happening this weekend. I'm Jillian Corder.
And I'm Brady Raynard. Thanks again for coming to play at Louisiana's Playground. Sit you.